I go to a Bible conference in Arizona. First words out of the first one I saw there was, "How are you doing, Mayor?" And I said, "Wait a minute, I didn't come here for that, but I'm thankful for my brother." Today represents something quite notable. Y'all probably don't remember. But at or about this day, 34 years ago, Grace Baptist Church began. Y'all might not know that. Matter of fact, we can almost mark it as an anniversary because Miss Linda and I moved 14 times in our first 15, 16, 17 years of marriage, somewhere along in there. But we've been where we are right now, in our home now, for 25 years, right about today, 25 years ago, within a day or two. And I'm thankful. I rejoice in anniversaries. I rejoice in times it moves along. I rejoice that this morning that I can confess that Jesus Christ died for me and that my sins have been forgiven. And I rejoice in Him and Him alone today. And I delight in the opportunity this morning to break the Word of God with you. And it's been a while, so I've been mayor for 90 days. And my goodness, say, it took 90 days for Him to invite me into the pulpit. So that's not really true. I could have asked at any time. But I'm very thankful to be here today. But if I'm a little rusty today, it'll be because I haven't been in the pulpit in quite some time. So you forgive all the rust and you love me all the same. But we're very thankful. Thankful for visitors here this morning. And I hope and pray that by God's grace I'll speak to your heart this morning. Or better said, the Word of God will speak to your heart. The message that I have chosen is probably the greatest challenging message of all time. It even challenges Christians like me to think through this and to search our own hearts and to search my own heart as I come to this word today. If you would turn with me to a very famous passage, John chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading in the first verse. And by the way, I've got to that age where I have to take my glasses off, so I can't see with them and I can't see without them. And they're a nice thing to have. They cover up all of the old marks around my eyes, but at certain distances from my hand, from my eyes to my hands, I can't see very well. But I still see y'all very well. But I feel a little uncomfortable without them on, with them on while I'm reading and speaking to you guys. Let's read these seven verses, the first seven verses of John chapter 3. And it goes like this. "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Let's bow our heads and hearts. Ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we'd ask that you would bless the word in every heart here today, in my heart, in the heart of my brothers and sisters here who know you and have been born again by your Spirit, by everyone here that might not know you. And Lord, it would be my great prayer that all know you here, the free pardon of sin that's given unto us by Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we'd ask that that would be the case, but Lord, there may be many hearts here that know you not. If that would be the case, Lord, please rattle their cages today, Lord, we'd ask. Lord, convict them of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. Lord, work in their hearts and their lives, O Lord, for your glory, for your name's sake. I bless you, Lord, today that that you have wrought in my heart and saved me. And Lord, delivered many in my midst here today under the sound of my voice. And Lord, you have loved us. And as we have just sung a few moments ago, I hearken back to that 34 years ago. We sang it every Sunday for 2 or 3 years. More love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. This is the prayer we make on bended knee. Lord, we'd ask today for grace to have more love for him who died for us. We bless you now. We praise you for this great grace given unto us through your Son. And we would pray in his name. Amen. I think it would be fitting on this day to take a moment and share with you what Paul commonly did. Paul was real good at this. He was saved on the road to Damascus. He was going down the road with threatenings and murders in his heart one moment, and the next moment he was changed. Just in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you could say, because God can change a man in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and just like he can create a world in a second. He used 6 days, but he can do it in 6 seconds, or 1 second if he wanted to. But he chose 6 days to teach us a lesson, and we've lost the message of that lesson now. But I thought I would take a moment and share with you something that I haven't shared in quite some time. I was raised by my mom and dad. That's usually the case. From the earliest age, I was carried to church. By the time I was 9 or 10 years old, I knew that there was a God, and I knew that I needed him, and I knew he was the one that I needed to run to. But instead of running to him, I ran away from him. I fought with him and fought with him and fought with him, and I said, "No, Lord, you're not going to rule over me." Somewhat like the Pharisees said of Jesus on that day when he was crucified. And then a great trauma came in my life. I was 16 years old. I had the big man on the campus kind of attitude, and I ruled my own life. I was president of all the clubs, and I was, if you didn't like me, I beat you down. If you competed with me, I won. And the Lord, through a great trauma, I won't go so much into the trauma, forced my hand. I bowed my knees. And I repented of the sin, of my sin, as the old song says, and won the victory. But I didn't win the victory. It was a victory assigned unto me, given to me by Jesus Christ our Lord, as he wrought salvation in my life. It wasn't of me, it was of him. I didn't save myself, he saved me. It was very clear in my heart at that time that I was different. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say all my sins have been forgiven. God is merciful to me. And so God used that moment. And so for this morning, I want to rehearse just a moment what Jesus said to an old man. We know Nicodemus is old because he said he was old. He said, "How can an old man," and he's speaking of himself, "enter back into his mother's womb?" Nicodemus was a man who was sure, if you'd ask him on the street, Is heaven your home? He has said, "Yes, I'm going to be with my Lord one day because I have kept the words. I have been a good man. I've been a good Pharisee. I know the law and I know all these things. And I am going to heaven one day because da 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 da. God owes me a spot because I've been a good boy." But that's not what I have just read to you from Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture places a demand, a requirement, an absolute, undeniable requirement upon you and I, and it is outside of you and I to fulfill this requirement. We don't have the ability to fulfill it. Just like I didn't have the ability to be conceived, I didn't have the ability to be born. Matter of fact, and I don't even remember it happening. And you don't either. Also, the ability for this to take place is outside of us. It's a God-wrought blessing that only he can give. And I'm sure it staggered Nicodemus. Before I go any further into the message, I would share with you that I can't read your hearts. I can't look at your heart, and you can't look at mine. I'll watch myself. I won't wave my hands anymore. I can't look into your hearts, and you can't look into mine. But I believe with all my heart that there are many, many, many in my presence here today that have been born again by the Spirit of God. That you know what it is when it says you must be born again. You can raise your hand and say, that's happened to me. The Lord has wrought in my soul the new birth. And hallelujah that that's so. But there may be some here that are not. Sure, maybe not ever. Maybe struggling with assurance, not knowing. But I would share with you, these words are very true. Even though they're challenging words to each one of our hearts, I say to you, in the words of our Lord, you must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And so the question rises, are you born again? It rises in my heart. I'm somewhat staggered in my own being to come before you today to share this message, but since I only get one in 90 days, it appears, I thought I would get back to the basics, you know, get right back at the foundations. Vince Lombardi, I don't know if any of y'all, most of you young, you never heard of him. All of us old guys know who Vince Lombardi is. Famous coach of the Green Bay Packers, winner of the first two or three or four or five or six Super Bowls. He just cleaned house back in the early days of the Super Bowl. He was a famous coach. He would begin every practice by bringing a football out and saying to men who lived their lives, made their living, professional football players, he would lift up this and say these words, this is a football. This is a football. And he never got away from the basics. He said, if you tackle and you block, we win. If you tackle and you block, we win. And so he would wear those boys out. The Green Bay Packers told story after story after story of him where he would come on the field and they would block until they could block no more. And they became professional blockers. And then they would tackle until they could tackle no more. He'd line up two dummies on one side of the field and he'd bring a running back in this side and a defensive man on this side. And they'd meet in the middle and they'd have a head-on tackling practice. And let me share something with you. Bones were jarred and heads were knocked and but they loved him. But he always started with the very basic foundational statement. This is a football. And very honestly, my brothers and sisters, I may live to be 100 years old. I don't know that I'll live another day or another moment. But the foundational story in every Christian's life is this. You must be born again. You can't get past that. And then after you're born again, you never get past it still. Because right now in my heart, I'm overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus died for me. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. And it's a gloriously good thing today as I stand before you and rehearse to you. That which warms my heart and satisfies my soul and in the words of the psalmist, crowns me. And crowns you as a brother and sister in the Lord with loving kindness and tender mercies and all the goodness of the Lord throughout this year should well within our hearts thankfulness for the good God who has loved us and sent his Son to proclaim to us the words of life, ever true, changing me and changing you. And I don't even know where I'm at on my sermon right now, so we'll just sort of start looking right now. I write out my sermons every morning, and I struggled to write them out this morning as I prayed over them last night, as I had them in my mind. And I struggled to write it out this morning because it's very difficult for me to put all the words into action. But it seemed to me as though Jesus was very to the point, if you could say it, when he met with Nicodemus. The dialogue that took place almost gives the perspective that Jesus was almost rude to him. I mean, Nicodemus comes in with a compliment. We know you're of God. No man can do the things that you do except you be of God. And then immediately, Jesus jumps right into the point. In verse 3, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It was almost as though he wasn't being a good host. Nicodemus came to see him and he got smacked over the face with this news. And I use that to illustrate that this is a great necessity in my life and in your life. We cannot miss this. We cannot make a mistake here. And I think that's the reason that our Lord was so pointed at this Pharisee, this man who would have come to have taught Jesus if he could. We don't know. Lord could look right into the heart of Nicodemus and see the need, and he looked right into the heart of Nicodemus and he saw a man lost and undone, yet a very religious man, a person who went to church all the time, a person who prayed the right prayers, he could say the right words. He could probably stand in a pulpit and preach a message on you must be born again, again, and yet he was not. And yet he was not. Jesus was very much to the point, abrupt. But it's because of the great necessity here. Don't miss this. Eternity weighs in the balance is based upon this in your life. In your life. You can't miss this. You might do everything else right. You might, in the sense, in the words of our Lord, gain the whole world. And yet if you miss this right here, you missed everything. You missed everything. The Lord was putting it like this. If I'm a mother and a child needs to be fed, I need to give it some food, okay? If I'm a father and my child is sick, I need to give it some medicine, okay? If someone is injured and comes to me, I need to get to the doctor. We need to go immediately to the need. And Jesus Christ our Lord went immediately to the need in the life of the man Nicodemus. And he said these words, and they're words that hold a tremendous imperative in their lives. And the call is most thorough. The call is sweeping. The call is undeniably true of every person in this building and every person in the world. Except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Verse 7, ye must be born again. A new life is more than just a change. It's a new creation. And as I say that, I tremble in my spirit. For I know there's so much about me that needs still to be changed. There's so much about me that needs to be changed. It's more. Regeneration, which is another word of saying the new birth, is more than just reformation. It's more than just becoming religious. It's more than just being washed or improved or elevated. But being born again is not being more vigorous, not being louder. It's not a fresh start. It's not a new tone. It's not those things. But it's a new life that's received from above. It's a new life. It's no improvement on this present life. That won't do. You must be born again. A new creature is made, in the words of the Apostle Paul. It's not a change of opinion. All of us have opinions. It seems like everybody has an opinion. If you watch much sports commentary, everybody's got an opinion. And I watch too much of that. But everybody has an opinion, but it's not a new opinion. It's not a change of opinion. It's not a new notion, but a new birth. And I would go ahead and argue very quickly that reformation is a very good thing. We glory that we're a part of a reformation where truth became much more instilled. It's a different kind of word, reformation, but reformation is good and well, but it's not the new birth. If I've been lazy and I've decided to be diligent, well, that's well and good. That's good. I get up. I've been slow, and so I'm going to go run. I've gained too much weight, and I'm going to lose some weight. I'm too little, I'm going to gain some weight. I've been there in my life, amazingly enough. I'm an alcoholic, but I've decided to be sober. And all these things are good. I'm a terrible, debauched, immoral person, and I've decided to be a good boy. That is not the new birth. All is good. I've decided to go to church. I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to stand before men. I'm going to be baptized. And my brothers and sisters, all these things are good, but have you been born again? By the Spirit of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. I just mentioned baptism. Baptism is a picture of that. That's the reason we have baptism, so we remember. So remember, a man who is dead is placed in a tomb. And so we take a sinner who died in his sin, and we bury him. If we leave him there, he really dies. But we raise him back up out of that water, out of that watery grave, a new man. A new man, a resurrected man, a man whom God has wrought in his spirit, in his life, and changed him eternally, and hallelujah, that it is so. What a gloriously good thing it is. A new creation, just as much as when God said, let there be light, and there was nothing but darkness, God has spoken into the hearts of men. And he said, let there be life. And life has come through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all things become new. Our hearts are new. They now beat for the things of God. And now they bless the Lord God of heaven. We bless him. You know, I can every now and then sing Amazing Grace and it be wrote to me. Every now and then that happens. But most often when I just open my mouth and say, amazing, my heart gets welled up within me because grace has come in my life. And it's amazing to me that God from heaven would save someone such as I am. A new world awaits that man. Our eyes are new, our hands are new, and yet our world is totally upside down. Our world is totally upside down. The Apostle Paul found it totally upside down in his life. On the road to Damascus, he was changed. He was born again. But a freight train hit him that day, too. A freight train hit him that day. All of his friends stopped being his friends. And all of his enemies started being his friends. He was a traitor that day. He went over to the other side. He had a train wreck. He had to run his first day just about after his eyes had been opened. He understood salvation. He was baptized. Within a few days, they lowered him down with a rope on the other side of the wall so he wouldn't be killed that day because all of his friends were no longer his friends. He had a tough start. He had a tough start. Oh, but yet he gloried in it, for he had seen the Lord. The Lord had changed his life, and he was new. He was born again through the Spirit of God. If you ever have an opportunity, I'd encourage you to read The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, okay? That's the name of the book. It's a little yellow book. It's a little biographical sketch of this lady named Rosario Butterfield. Actually had the opportunity to see her in person, even though I didn't get the opportunity to walk up and meet her because she was at a Bible conference down in Nashville the other day that Donnie, myself, Justin, and Chris went to. But I had read her book before I got there. This lady was an English professor, and I think it was Columbia College, wherever that's at. And she was a homosexual. And she decided to write a book. And she had written several books. She was about 40-ish or something like that. She had been a professor for several years. Outspoken. She was militant in her thinking, militant in her mindset. And she decided that she would write a book clearly delineating the fallacies of the Word of God. And so she needed a little help over the fence in regard to a few questions that she had. So she wrote about 40 letters to 40 pastors. And pretty much the letters went like this. She told who she was and what she was. And she says, if you dare, I would like to sit down and talk with you and you answer my questions. And so she only got one response back, which is sort of shameful in a way. And she should have got, every one of them should have responded back if they were truly men after God's own heart. But now, I'm sure there was threatenings and murders in the letters, so I'm sure there was an obvious reason why they would not respond, okay? Well, one guy responded. To our discredit, he was a Presbyterian. But anyway, he was a good man. I think Presbyterians, by and large, are good men. I want to share that right off the bat, even though I'm not a Presbyterian. For y'all that do not know, our beloved John McKay is a Presbyterian. I've never told y'all that, but anyway, you just have to swallow real big right now and say, I've supported that man all these years, and he's a Presbyterian. Okay. All righty. Where was I at? she sent this letter out, and this guy sent back, and she said, and he said, if you dare, I will answer all your questions if you'll come to my house and sit down with my wife and I. He was an older man, been married many years. So he came, and she came trembling. And to cut a long story short, several weeks later, trembling and terrified, she walked into the church where that man was preaching. And he preached the gospel to her. And God from heaven reached down and saved her soul. Now, that's a gloriously wonderful truth, but her life was a train wreck then. Boy, did she have a train wreck. She lost all of her friends. She had to go over and kick somebody out of her house, and we won't go there, and just had all kinds of difficulties, struggled to no end. But when I saw her the other day, my heart leaped because I truly saw someone who I truly believe God had wrought in their heart and blessed them. She was a different person. The secret thoughts of an unlikely convert are good thoughts. It's a worthy read if you ever have opportunity to get it. Rosario Butterfield met the Lord, and the Lord changed her life. Her whole world was upside down. This new birth is radical. It is a train wreck because everything becomes new. The old stuff goes away. You don't know the new stuff. And the new stuff is fresh. The new stuff has delight to it. And the new stuff has challenge to it. It's a struggle many times. It's a struggle many times. It's also, it's a spiritual thing. It's new life infused into a person. Bright and wonderful change has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Is that you today? Is that you today? It's marvelous. It's divine. And it's a God-wrought thing. It's not something we do. Yes, we pursue after it. The Bible very clearly teaches us that we're to seek after the Lord. And when I was saved, when I was 16, and that trauma happened in my life, I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew to whom I was supposed to run because I had been shown year after year after year, day after day in my life, that there was a God. And I believed there was a God, but I didn't want him ruling in my life. But when trauma came in my life, I ran to him, and God gloriously and preciously saved my soul. This new birth is a wonderful thing. You can't totally describe it. It's invisible, like the wind. The wind is spoken of here in this passage. And it's sort of like the wind. We don't see the wind. It's hard to tell about the wind. And just as it's wonderful and you can't describe it, it's also unpredictable. You never know what kind of spot you're going to get into. You never know what you're going to run into. And that's sort of how the Holy Spirit works. But I'd share with you this. We know a little bit about it, but we don't know the whole story. But praise be unto God. It's different now since Jesus saved a soul. He saved my soul. And ours is not to necessarily reason here because we don't understand it all. It's wonderful in and of itself, but we're to just wonder at it and bask in it. In many ways, we come to Grace Baptist Church and other churches, and we raise our hands and we glory and we wonder in the greatness of the gift of God into our lives. For God bringing men into new life, it's the secret of the Lord, and he does it. And it's not us. It's not us, but him. But in the passage, it's very clearly a God-wrought thing. Man might think he can manipulate the Spirit, but he can't. And man might think he can bring himself to new birth, but he can't. He can't do that by himself. He just cannot do it. It's only by God, and it's just in this new life. That I would confess that when I was born again, I had nothing whatsoever to do about it. I was a beggar. My only part in the new birth is the only part that you had in your new birth. If you're here today and you know the Lord, your part was being a recipient. That's all it was. I've heard so many people tell of coming to the Lord and the great struggle that they had. Or they might even say, well, I repented, or I had faith, or I did this, or I did that. And very honestly, the only thing that you have and the only thing that you bring to the new birth is just yourself. You are truly only a recipient there. But now that you're born again, you have a new father, and you have a gloriously good new brother, and you have brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we bear the nature of our brothers and sisters, and we bear the nature of our father. We have a new family. All those that are born again have faith. All those that are born again have repented of their sins. All of these things are real of them. And we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. They all now communicate with their Heavenly Father. I would honestly share with you, if you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you do not pray, then there's room for great concern in your life, because as new creatures, we communicate with our Father in heaven. We pray. These born from above, born again, they also praise the Lord. We lift up our voices unto Him. We rejoice in Him, for He hath birthed us from above. Paul gloried in the Lord Jesus Christ. I met Him on the road of Damascus, and He's my life. He's my all. I live for Him. My life is hidden in Him. I glory only in that He died for me. He would say such things as that. And He wanted men to know that He had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing this morning. Psalm 66 was the thrust of the message this morning at the nursing home. And this is a psalm where the psalmist in Psalm 66 says, "And I come and hear me testify of what the Lord has done for me. Come and hear me testify of what the Lord has done for me." That's a mission statement to us who've been born again, that God calls us to manifest the wonders of His glory, that He would save one such as us. But in this verse right here, and particularly as it's expressed in Psalm in verse 7 of John 3, our Lord says these words: "You must be born again. You must be born again." He puts it as an imperative. It has to happen. Regardless of what our portion is in life, whether we have fame and fortune or poverty and sickness, whether we have shame or whether we're talented or whether we're clumsy, all of these things, they do not matter. You must be born again. Educated or uneducated, wise or ignorant, those who enter into the kingdom of God must be born again. Where a person has not been born again, there's no spiritual life. And very honestly, you close your eyes in death having not been born again, then you lift your eyes as the rich man did with Lazarus. You lift your eyes in eternal separation from God. That's how important this is. Not born again, then Christ is not yours. Doesn't matter who your mother is, doesn't matter who your father is. You must be born again. You must be born again. So, you know, on occasions here, when we're having communion and we're passing out the elements, and we pretty much have a pretty thorough statement that you must be a born-again believer to receive the elements, and that's honored in our midst as we receive elements. Well, I look around and I see young people that are of age to know, who've not been born again. And my heart yearns for them. My heart yearns for you. You must be born again. You must be born again. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That was a warning in that to this old man Nicodemus. It's a warning. Life is fleeting. Life is fleeting. I wasn't born again right then, but I remember so clearly being in church one day when I was just 10, maybe something like that, and a lady come back and speak to me in church and crying and said, "Oh, Carol, you must be born again." She used this passage right here, and I can remember it very clearly, remember her name very clearly. She'd been dead now for 20 years, 30 years, but I love her today because she loved my soul that day. It's a good message to preach. You must be born again. But I'll finish with this, that it's a very personal thing also. It's not personal in that you're not to make it known, but it's a very personal thing where the Lord said clearly to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be." Nicodemus was a learned man, and I'm sure he was a loved man. I'm sure he was a highly regarded man. But Nicodemus was a lost man. Nicodemus needed the Lord. He needed the new birth. And also, God calls men to repent and believe the gospel. He calls us to do so. In receiving this supernatural gift, it's a gift that comes to you. And so it continues to beg the question, have you been born again? I'd like to read a few more verses, 14 more verses in John chapter 3, if you're still there, and I'll close with this. Because Nicodemus was bumfuzzled, you might say. He was flabbergasted at what Jesus had just said. I mean, his statements regarding going back into the mother's womb was part of it, but it continued to be so. And so our Lord finished off and further explained, if we could say, the new birth in the next few verses. In verse 7 it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's not something that I can see, but it's known in the heart of man. Now it's seen in the eye of those looking that person is different. It's changed. I'll thank the Lord for the story one day that my beloved sister Jane handed to me of Billy Bray. Billy Bray was just drunk, married, lots of children, lived in a shack, worked in a coal mine. Every time he'd get his paycheck, he'd go down to the tavern and he'd drink it up. And so you know what his children were. They were on starvation most of the time. And all of a sudden, one day, going down the road, he met a preacher who preached unto him. And God from heaven wrought in the life of Billy Bray. And he was an ignorant and unlearned man. Somewhat like the Pharisees said of the early disciples of our Lord. They were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. This ignorant, unlearned man. God saved his soul. And he was happy Billy Bray the rest of his life. Because he manifested the reality of a changed life right then. For he was rejoicing in the Lord the remainder of his days. He didn't squander his money anymore on booze. He sought to protect and bless his family and others around him. He became a pillar in the church. Such an amazing transformation in life that was wrought in this older man. We can see it. We can see with our eyes a person that's been born again because we can see the difference in their lives, but we cannot see the operations in the heart. And that's what our Lord said in verse 8. Nicodemus answered in verse 9 and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, thou art a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak which we do know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord here is explaining the future and what was going to happen. Jesus Christ the Lord was going to be crucified. He was going to be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, most famous, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. our Lord Jesus Christ centered this new birth and said unto men, you must be born again. And this is wrought by faith by those who believe upon the Son of God, who came from heaven down and died on the cross of Calvary. My great claim to fame is, if I have a claim to fame, yes, I have a claim to fame. My great claim to fame is this. It's not that I've been elected mayor, Pastor Donnie, but that Jesus has died for me. And I rest and trust in him. My life is hidden in Christ, in God. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? It's a question that makes us all tremble to a measure. Every now and then we need to even rattle our own chains and search our own souls. Have you been born again? It's a question of tremendous weight in your life and in mine. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Father, we thank you for these few moments. Thank you for those that are here. We would ask your blessings upon every life. Oh, Father, we would ask your eternal blessing of salvation that might be wrought in the life of each one here. Lord, I don't know their hearts. I don't know each one's heart. But, Lord, I know this, that, Lord, you're the Savior of men, and, Lord, you can reach down. Save your people here today, oh, Lord. Work in the lives of those that you choose. Lord, bless and help and save. Lord, bring to bear the beautiful, beautiful new birth in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls in our midst today. Lord, call out your people, we pray. And Father, we bow. And we confess, O Lord, that we stand in need of you. The preacher stands in need of you. Everyone here stands in need of you. Lord, we need you, Father. We need you. Lord, please bless and of thy Spirit work. Oh, Lord, we rejoice that you've worked in our hearts. Lord, multiply the blessing. Give us souls, oh, Lord, we would pray. Lord, send forth your salvation. And, Lord, work in the hearts of men. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you that it would be so. We give thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you for hearing me this morning. Thank you for this few moments that I've had in your life. May God bless it. May God bless it. We're going to have a meal here, one with another. And then after that, our body life service.